To the Splash of Sass podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinley, and we are here to recap Jeff Lewis Live for the week of October 14th to the motherfucking 18th, bitch. I ain't got no legs, bitch. Sorry if you don't have legs. Okay, moving on to Monday's episode with a couple people with a couple of legs. They got Kelty Knight behind the mic and Michael Hitch on that cork, baby. Hitch a ride all over that cork, if you know what I mean. If you don't, then that's cool too. Okay, so we start off this week learning that Michael Hitchcock tagged his neighbor's house. You guys, he wrote rape and torture on the rock wall out front. Is he the same one that wrote it on Jeff's too? Is that? No, actually this time it was the opposite of last week where I thought that Jeff's house got tagged on Instagram, but it actually got like spray paint tagged. And now Michael Hitchcock started this week by being like, oh, I tagged my neighbor's house. And I'm like, what the fuck? You spray painted? You're letting us know all your nefarious behavior live on air, Michael Hitchcock? And no, he wasn't. He actually tagged his neighbor's house on Instagram. It's too much tagging. Tag, I'm out. But I guess Michael's neighbor has really cool Halloween decorations outside. And some call took a picture to share with the world. With the world. Now, we talk about Halloween decorations a lot this week on JLL. And at one point, I forget, it was either Taylor or Beverly. We'll get to them later. We'll get to you folks later, toots. But they were saying how one way to create a Halloween decoration from home is get some sterile gloves, because we all have those in our pantry. Actually, I do. I do have them. Thank you, COVID. So sterile gloves, and I guess you fill it with like water or ketchup or something. I don't know. Or like flour. And then you make it into like a dead hand. Anyways, the point of this is that we need to talk about Halloween decorations, because some people, I'm looking at you, Mr. Lewis, are taking it too far. Actually, Jeff's house sounds really cool. It sounds like one of those houses where you'd be like, oh man, that's awesome. Look at the skeletons and ghosts and all the vampires and... oh, yeah, there's also decorations on the lawn. I'm not just looking into the neighbor's house and seeing Jeff through the window. Look at that evil skeleton-looking vampire looking out the window. Oh, it's just Jeff Lewis. Okay, sorry. So Halloween decorations. I saw this girl driving, and she had, it wasn't one of the sterile glove hands, but it was like an actual arm. Well, not an actual arm. I thought it was a fucking arm at first. It was like a doll, like a human. It was like a prosthetic arm with a hand, and it all had blood on it, and it was hanging out of her fucking trunk. It was hanging out of the trunk, you guys. It looked like she had a dead body in the trunk, but upon further glare, it was clearly a prosthetic. Or was it? I don't know. That was my point. First of all, I screamed. Like, I thought I was going to have to call 911 as I was driving. And I really don't like to do that. Anyways, my whole point is, like, sometimes people take Halloween decor way too far, okay? Way too far. And I'm not just talking about Jeff playing Halloween music in his house all day for poor Aurora, who's stuck working there with zero control over the speaker system in his house, that he's working remotely from the SiriusXM studios to try and play like creepy Halloween playground music shit, like just like a creaking swing. Creak, creak. That's all I could picture. And he was trying to like make it a bit on JLL and like, oh, let's keep calling Aurora and see how terrified she is. And I was like, can we not? I know that now you're extending Jeff Lewis Live to 2 hours a week or 2 hours a day, not just, I wish it was 2 hours a week. That'd be much less listening for me. And again, we'll get into all of this later, but I can't help that one topic happens to snowball into the next, into the next, into the next. It's a cobweb of Jeff Lewis Live we weave around here. But so I know that he has to like create a lot more content now that he's on the hook for 2 hours a day. But calling your housekeeper after terrorizing her, that's not going to cut it, bro. But OK, we'll get to that later. Anyways, back to Halloween decorations. Just be careful out there, folks, OK? Because I almost crashed my car into this lady with a fucking murderous arm hanging out of her trunk. And then it took me a while. I had to like stare at it. I had to critically analyze it, and it was distracting. I should have been paying attention to the road, but instead I was thinking, is that Bob in the fucking trunk, and do I care if it is? Like, I kind of hate Bob too. I don't give a fuck if he's dead, so I'm the wrong person to ask. But does anybody else's town like take it too far? Because when I think of like Jeff Lewis decorating his lawn with some cemeteries and some skeletons, yeah, we've all seen those, fine, whatever. But my actual little village town, it fucking, every single post, every single light post has like a skeleton hanging from it, or it has like scarecrows with like blood dripping from it, or like babies taped to trash cans. My town takes it too fucking far, too fucking far. Not all of us like that shit. And it's not like they're doing that for every holiday. It's not like on Valentine's Day, they flood the streets with love. No, it's on specifically Halloween. They like to terrorize the shit out of people. And it's like, everybody has Ellen DeGeneres syndrome. Not everybody. I take that back. I take that back. People like Jeff Lewis and the people that run my town, they have Ellen DeGeneres, syndrome. Where you like to scare the shit out of people. And I will admit, sometimes it is funny to scare. But then those of us who get startled easily do not love it. And also with Halloween specifically, like, because so much of it is like blood and skeletons and death, it's just like too much. Like, how do we know that's not a real skeleton? You know, when you go into those haunted houses and there's the chainsaw massacres going, how do we know it's not a real fucking massacre? And we've all heard the stories. There are different ones that have to get shut down because Billy with the chainsaw took it a little too far and he saw his ex roaming around with Timmy. And next thing you know, Timmy and the ex are now ex communicated from their own heads. They got beheaded by whoever the fuck I said. I don't know. Johnny, Timmy, Judy, Ludy, whatever, with the mask, with the chainsaw. Okay, so I just don't like holidays that celebrate murder and creepiness. Ew. And if you like that, then I think there's something twisted about you. And that's only confirmed when people like Jeff Lewis love Halloween. I'm like, of course you would. As I sit here cackling like the motherfucking witch I am. Okay, so Michael Hitch on a Cock, he told us about how his new show is a smashing success, darling. Smashing. You look smashing tonight. That's such an underused phrase in America. You know, we do like smashing and grabbing too much. But I love how the Brits always are like, you look smashing, darling. It's like, yeah, bitch, I took that motherfucking ball and I slammed it out of the park with this motherfucking dress and these butterfly heels, which, thank you for asking. Those were a big success at the garden party I went to last weekend, okay? You know how you know when you nailed your outfit? The little girls at the party could not stop running up to them and like petting the butterflies on my shoes. It was adorable. Will I ever wear them again? No, but that's fine. Okay, so anyways, Michael, when he was talking about his show, being very humble, I might add, he was like, look, it's only a smashing success because everybody has Netflix. Everybody has Netflix. So, of course, they're just going to stream that. And I was like, wrongo, wrongo, Mikal. Don't cut yourself short because everybody had Amazon Freevee. Let's just focus right there on the Freevee part of it. Freevee to stream me. And look what happened to all the shows on Amazon Freevee, they ended up getting caught, bitch. No, we're going to get to all of that later. Don't even get me started on Jeffrey Lewis and his streaming shows. So, but Michael also said about his show that it was very bingeable. He had to admit that it was very bingeable. You know what else is very bingeable? Michael McHale. Every fucking meal I've ever eaten. Like, have you ever eaten a meal and not instantly thought, I wish this would regrow? That's my instant fucking thought. The second the last bite is eaten, doesn't matter how full I am, whatever. Like, I just want it to regrow. And it never fucking does. So, I don't know. But who doesn't love a binge fest? Whether it's food, whether it's Netflix, whether it's not Amazon Freevee. We'll binge anything except Amazon Freevee. R.I.P. Hollywood Housewife. But honestly, who the fuck wants to watch Kate Bosworth on an iPad on your TV screen? It's a screen on screen on screen. We know how I feel about that. Okay, so then Jeff reads a news story about this girl having two vaginas, two vagines. And I kind of felt like a little time traveler because I listened to Monday's JLL episode on Wednesday. And in the meantime, on Tuesday, an article came out about this guy with three penises. So when I heard Jeff talking about a girl with two vaginas, I was like, just wait until he wakes up to the news tomorrow that there's a man with three penises. And then somehow we missed that story on JLL. Where are their priorities? I ask of thee. I ask of thee. Okay, so then Kelty, she was like, oh my God, double the vaginas, double the tampons. No, thank you. Which just, we need to always, whenever we talk about tampons on Splash of Sass, which has been like pretty frequently, I would say. We have to give the PSA that they should be free. They should absolutely be free to all women, whether it's pads, tampons, sure, whatever it is. We fucking bleed out, you guys. Do you know what would happen if women refused to wear sanitary items, if they refused to purchase them? Then we would just be leaving trails of blood. You guys, we'd be leaving chunks everywhere. Chumps with chunks. Ew, the chump chunks would be flying out. Ew, left and right. No, it's blood chunks. That's worse than chump chunks. The fact that we have to fucking buy products so that we don't blow bloody chunks every month, like, that is ridiculous. You should be fucking grateful that we buy that shit. At the very least, it should be tax-free. Write it off in your taxes, however that shit works. Not that I would write them off, because I don't care, you know? I just don't want to do my taxes. That's another story. But also on Real Housewives of New York this past week, Rebecca Minkoff, which we have not confirmed if there's any relation to Rob and Crystal, of the Crystal and Rob Kung Minkoffs. I think it's just Rob Minkoff. And so I think the Crystal Kung is, I don't know. And so, but are Rob and Rebecca's sisters? I mean, sisters, Rob and Rebecca. Well, I don't know how Rob identifies. I believe it's as a male. So I think they would just be siblings. But also it might be Rebecca's husband. Is Rebecca even married? Her ex? I don't care. Anyways, my whole point is that Rebecca Minkoff on this Roni episode, she said that she wore a diva cup one time, which is that plastic shit that you shove up and it like open, it blooms like a little flower and just, oh, it's disgusting. It catches all your blood in a pool and then you have to fist yourself basically and come out with a full shark attack. It's a full chunky, bloody shark attack. Did I mention there's fucking chunks? You blow chunks out of your vagina every month? But it's natural and like beautiful. It's actually kind of cool sometimes. It's pretty cool. Yeah, but it's gross. All the things. And so anyways, Rebecca Minkoff, the first time she was wearing her diva cup, she sneezed, you guys. She sneezed and it blew the fuck out of her vagina. Oh my God. Oh my God, no. The Diva Cup came flying right out, a blood massacre everywhere. It was just a cleanup on aisle 5. And yeah, that's a free tampons and pads for the world, okay? Me for president, that's what I would say. Let's move the fuck on to two people who should never be president. No, I don't care. At this point, who the fuck cares who's president, you know? Okay, on Tuesday's episode, we had Beverly D'Angelo of the D'Angelo subchains. She's the heir to the food chain, you guys. D'Angelo's. Is that factual? I don't know. You Google it. I don't have time. And Joey Zazu. Zazig. Now, Beverly D'Angelo kind of had this whole, like, Lisa Barlow voice going on. I guess who came first, chicken or the egg? I guess Beverly came first. But either way, it was just very reminiscent of, like, when the voice drops and it's like, should I do it? Should I talk about fat? Fat is a symptom. Fat is a symptom, you guys. Like, everything's a symptom. What the fuck do you mean? Yeah, if people are eating too much, yeah, it's a symptom of unhappiness. If you're drinking too much, it's a symptom of unhappiness. If you're listening to Jeff Lewis Live too much, it's a symptom of unhappiness. Do we get it? We get it. Misery loves company, and the chumps have plenty of company. Okay, so Jeff asked Jameson if he has ever turned anybody into HR. Now, talk about prophetizing your future. Prophesizing. Yeah, let's go with that. Prophesizing your future. It was very much foreshadowing because we find out on Friday's episode that Jeff is potentially 99% getting turned into HR. And I was going to say he hasn't had a violation in a while, but yeah, again, he just foreshadowed it for himself. So Jameson, though, he said, honestly, I haven't. I mean, I've come very close, but I swear I haven't. I haven't, Jeff. No one's buying that. No one's buying that, Jameson. You're literally like the quintessential reporter. You're the first person that would be reporting live to HR. But even later in the week, Jeff was saying that allegedly Jim Thompson receives a dozen emails every day. Talk about being dramatic. I think Tim was being a little dramatic there, don't you think, Tim? Tim? Sorry, Jim. Jim Billabob Thornton. Jim Billabob Thornton. Okay, so Jim Thompson receives a dozen emails each day from people complaining about Jeff and his content and his show and his guests and his producers and all ratatitato. And I was like, are people emailing Jim Thompson or is Jameson? Is Jameson using all his burner accounts? I don't think Gmail has a limit on how many fucking pseudo emails you can come up with. So let's check the IP address on that and make sure that you're not getting a dozen emails from different email addresses and the same IP address. All right, Jameson, we see you. We see each other. Love you, little ginge. You little fucking ginger. My little ginger twinster. Fortune Femesta, motherfucking memesta. Oh, I'm so sad I won't be able to recap Fortune next week, but we'll get to that. We will get to that. And guess who ruined it for all of us? Guess who ruined the fun for us all? The motherfucking head chump in charge, Mr. Lewis, by being greedy as fuck, trying to eat up 2 hours of everybody's day on live air. Oh, we don't have fucking time for that, bitch. We'll get to that, okay? Now we're going to talk about trick-or-treaters in California. California, here we come. So Jeff is keeping the lights on, but no one's home. If that's not a metaphor for his motherfucking life. No, I'm kidding. His lights are on and people are always home. It's just the other voices in his head, or it's his actual like staff in his actual house. Okay, but so we talk about how they're going to go trick-or-treating elsewhere or, like, do something else on Halloween. I think Jeff's going to a party because he doesn't have Monroe. He's already told everybody live on air that he won't be home that night. And we already have a white van that's lurking around Jeff's neighborhood, as reported to him by his neighbors, that could be potential robbers. My whole point is, like, what are people still trick-or-treating in California? Don't you guys rob each other too much to do that shit anymore? Like, didn't people ruin it for the rest of you? Like, how on the night that people are supposed to show up at your house, I feel like, again, it's just such an opportune moment for this holiday to turn into an actual massacre. Like, it could, people are supposed to go up to strangers' house and ring on the doorbell. You open the door thinking it's a bunch of little trick-or-treaters. It's actually just a bunch of short little robbers, and they are dressed up as robbers and ski masks and everything. And then you think that trick or treat, and they're like, move the fuck out of the way, bitch, or we'll fucking blow your head off. Boom, 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 boom. Like, that is my biggest fear for them. And so I just don't think it's safe. I don't understand how Jeff keeps on like saying when he'll be out of the house, and when your neighborhood is being watched and robbed. So I'd be careful if I were you. I think you're going to get a lot more tricks than treats if you ask me. But what the fuck do I know? Okay, moving on to things we don't know. What the fuck happened on Jeff Lewis Live Next was mind-boggling. It was, you know that whole skit, like, who's on first? What's on second? Why's on, why the fuck do we care is on third? Yeah, it turned into that, but JLL edition. So it was like, Joey's friend number one is on first, but then he went to second with friend number two, but then he went all the way home with his ex, and then a date fell into their DMs. Like, I don't know what the fuck was happening, but it was actually kind of hilarious to listen to them all dissect it. And this is really where Beverly thrived with relationship advice, which was so funny because she was like, look, I'll give advice all day, but please note that I'm single and celibate. Single and celibate. So why the fuck would you listen to me? And it's like, because Bev, those who can't do teach. So you're actually the perfect teacher, okay? And also, I would like to note that single and celibate should be the name of Beverly's memoir. Memoir. Au revoir to my memoir. No, memoirs of a celibate. That would be great. Okay, let's move on to a few more celibates. On Wednesday's episode, we had Taylor Dayne and Carnival Wilson. Also, I think they're very much not celibate, but it just sometimes the transitions work. Other times it's pure satire. That's up for your little heart to decide. Okay, now Jeff is very mad. He's so angry. Oof, you're so angry, Jeffrey. Denise. No, he's mad because all the mail carriers, and when I say mail carrier, I mean like post office workers, post people, not like people who carry mails. Like, I don't know. I'm just picturing like an old king from the Grecian era who's Grecian era, who is being carried in on one of those, what are those things called, where it was on my Super Sweet 16 all the time. That was people's favorite way to enter into their Sweet 16 party, was to be carried by a bunch of mail carriers. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we'll figure that out later. But it was just so funny because Jeff is like, I'm so annoyed. I'm trying to be fucking friendly and they won't even fucking pay attention to me and fucking smile and wave back. And then they're clearly distracted with their AirPods in, chattering to friends and family. Ew, who wants to stay connected to those fools? And now they're delivering the wrong mail to my house. And now I see why. They're distracted mailers. And I do want to say that I do understand Jeff's frustration. It is annoying when you get your neighbor's mail, because then you're like, ew, am I now on the clock? Am I now on the clock working for the USPS and I have to fucking re-deliver? I'm off hours. They can get their fucking tax paperwork when I remember, Linda. I'm not talking from personal experience at all. Huh? Actually, I am. Okay, so I have had many neighbors' mail delivered. My favorite is when packages come. One time I had a girl's, because I live in a condo thing, and so she had a Lululemon box get dropped off to my house, and I was like, oh my God, I am absolutely not dropping this off on her doorstep. I am waiting to see if she comes to mine. Maybe she doesn't even know that it came to mine. Maybe she can honestly report to Lululemon that she'd never received her package and she'd be telling the truth, and I would get her thing and then she would get reimbursed and she could get her order again and then we would both win. It's a win. That's called a win-win situation. Look out for your neighbors and let them steal your mail. That's my... Ew, I'm so evil. That's my PSA. Either way, the bitch came to my fucking doorstep because they did, a lot of the carriers now have to take pictures of the mail, which we've all seen. They take a picture of your package that they leave on the doorstep. My favorite is when my cats make a guest appearance in it. And my least favorite is when they are at the door. My cats are like waiting at the window or whatever. And the fucking carrier, delivery people are so, just like Jeff said, they're so distracted by their own AirPods or talking on their phones, whatever, that they don't even fucking appreciate that my cat is trying to say hello to you and is beautiful in the window and is the cutest thing in the world. And you don't even look the fuck up. They don't even look up and see it. And my cat is just trying to say hi. Be fucking nice. Be respectful. If my cat is trying to say hi to you, you better fucking say hello back. You better be fucking meowing at the window. You better be making kissy noises, okay? If you don't, I don't fucking trust you. I don't trust you. But even though that girl did come and get her package from me, she, another time, Petco, I ordered Petco, and they delivered my order plus somebody else's order, and it wasn't, there was no address on it, no nothing, so I didn't even fucking know whose it was, and I waited a couple weeks before I opened it, but you guys, it was two giant tubs of dog treats, and you might be like, wow, Ames, why would you keep that when you don't have dogs? I do, they're just trapped in cat bodies, I swear, they're little puppies, but anyways, they're freeze-dried treats, so they are one ingredient only, and anybody with animals know, anybody with any, but you know, if there's only one ingredient and it's freeze dried, it can go to any species anywhere. If I got hungry too, I could be eating that freeze dried pork rinds in no second. Ew, in no second, in no goddamn second, zero motherfucking seconds. It's not pork rinds either. It's like beef empanadas or something. I don't know. It's beef, pork, something. And so anyways, I'm just trying to say that I looked it up and these tubs cost like $40 each, and I got them for free, baby, for free. So think about it. I got $80 worth of cat, dog, animal treats. I got $80 worth of freeze-dried food for all my troubles for having to deliver a few people's mail every now and then. So sometimes I'm just trying to say the mix-ups work in your favor. Reframe, Jeffrey. Now, we learned that Monroe poured glitter all over her carpool driver. It was a nanny. It wasn't her nanny, but it was her friend's nanny. You know, they all, what is your nanny like? I don't know, probably like your nanny, covered in glitter. But I have to give props to Jeff, okay? Props to Jeff when props are due. Now, he told Monroe that she had to apologize. And my favorite thing is what he said next. He was like, look, Monroe, you're a very considerate and sensitive girl, and I'm surprised that you can't understand how this would be embarrassing and disrespectful for that nanny. And it's like, Jeff, that is so funny, because I say the same things to you on Splash a Motherfucking Sass that you say to Monroe. Let's see, Jen Green, Julie Goldman, Brandi Howard, Heather McDonald, the way that you treated them, it's like, Jeff, you're a very considerate and sensitive girl, and I'm surprised that you can't understand how blasting them on live radio to millions of people would be embarrassing and fucking disrespectful to them. But, you know, but like father, like daughter, like father, like, oh my God, you guys, I said I was going to give him props. And then first I had to just rage out first. Okay, but I did want to give him props. I did. But it is just so ironic. You know, we are all walking contradictions and no one highlights that more than Mr. Lewis himself. And so I will say, though, when he, because you can scold people all you want, but when you add in, when you pepper in compliments, like by telling Monroe, look, you're so considerate, you're so sensitive, saying these like, sometimes being sensitive, I ain't that motherfucking positive, let me tell you. No, but like to be like, you're so kind and thoughtful. Like I'm surprised that you would even do this and that you wouldn't want to instantly apologize, because if you just give all this negative self-talk to people, then that's what they build themselves up to in their head. Again, am I talking from personal experience? I don't want to talk about it. But so the more that you incorporate like positive, like you're so kind, it shocks me that you would do that. And then the next time she wants it, she's like, no, I am way too kind to do something like that. You know, like I think that's a great tactic. But then, right, I was getting like parenting whiplash from this episode, because right as I was like, oh my God, that's so great that Jeff is like complimenting her while also teaching her empathy and all of that. But then Jeff was like, well, I'm worried because Monroe's not a morning person, and she wasn't excited when her nanny asked her if she wanted OJ or coffee with her morning crumpet. Like, I don't fucking know. But he was like, she's not a morning person and she's grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. And it frustrates me so much as her dad, because you're supposed to be grateful that you even have somebody who's making you breakfast and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God. I think Carney said it best, where she was like, ew, I hope you didn't use that tone. I hope you didn't use that tone, because like when you have that angry tone, no matter what you're saying, she's not answering. Like her stomach is inside of her arsehole, you know, like you get that sinking feeling like, ew, stop scolding me. You're not even fucking listening to the chirping that's coming out of his beak. I like beaks. Okay, so my whole thing is, Jeff, do not, first of all, don't push non-morning people, okay? Don't push them to be on your level. Just because you're a morning person, chipper fucking Sally up there, like, no one gives a fuck, all right? People are allowed to be different. Some people can like mornings, but imagine at night if you were going to bed and right as like your head hits the pillow, Monroe starts jumping on the bed and she's like, Dad, this is when I have the most energy. Let's party. Woo, put on some Kesha, bitch. TikTok on the clock. Yeah, so like you can't force people to, I am speaking again from experience, thank you. And even, not even a morning person, but even after school, when my mom would be like, how was your day? I was like, fine. It was fine. I don't want to, I just lived it. I just don't feel like recapping it the second that I get home to you. I don't. Because you ask too many questions. I don't care. I need a second. And she would always not only like be annoyed that I was annoyed that she asked me, but then she got even more annoyed because I didn't ask her back. And she's like, you're supposed to ask me how my day was. And I was like, why would I ask you how your day was when I don't even want you to ask me how my day was? I'm doing you a fucking favor. I don't want to know. I don't care. And I don't want you to care. Oh my God. Why can't people just not care about each other? I'm joking, guys. I'm joking. But yeah, also like for Jeff to be mad that Monroe doesn't realize how fortunate she is. And like, you should be so glad, grateful that you even have somebody to pour you orange juice in the morning, whatever. It's like, look, empathy, it's all skills, right? It's all skills, gratefulness, every fucking thing. It's skills that people have to learn over time. And Jeff, one could argue it's taken you maybe 58 plus years. I don't know how old, 60 years. Sorry, rude. However, to harness in on those skills, hone in on those skills, okay? So don't be mad that your fucking 7-year-old isn't at the same gratefulness level that you are and can't wrap her head around the level of fortunate she is. Like, what the fuck? She just doesn't want to fucking talk first thing. Give her some time. You know what my advice is? Put on music that she likes, okay? Not your creepy Halloween shit. Actually, she probably does like that. Like, father like daughter again. She's probably like, Dad, put on my favorite song, the Halloween creepy playground. I want to hear the creaky swing again. But that's my advice. Like, find what she does. Like, or even if it's like classical music. Don't fuck around with me and Yanni, okay? He is the piano artist of the ages, okay? So I'm just saying there's different ways to approach it than being like, Monroe, be fucking grateful you get orange juice, bitch. Like, no, sir, watch your fucking tone. And lay off the caffeine if you're going to get so mean so early. Ew, maybe you should be drinking tea. Okay, and also with all this parenting talk, because there was so much and like how awful children can be and like they're great, they're, we love them, but also like they're such brats and they're, oh no, blah, blah, blah. And you know what it made me realize? I have never seen a group of people achieve their dreams and complain about it and complain about it any more than parents do, okay? Because 90%, well, I don't know the percentage, but a lot of people chose to be a parent, right? Like they chose this life. This was their dream. They wanted a family of their own. They finally get it. And now they're just like, this fucking shithead I have to live with. This fucking shithead with his crunchy socks up in his room, his crunchy socks and his creaky music. Like, I don't know. So it's just fascinating how like we have to go to your kid's birthday party, like as a somebody without kids, like we have to go to birthday parties and birthday shower or wedding baby showers and baby birthdays and all that, be like celebrating your kids all the fucking time, and then all you guys do to us is complain about them. And it's like, oh my god, you chose this. This was your dream. Your dreams came true and you complained about it. That's like me getting a dream show and all of a sudden me bashing the company that gave me the show on live air to all millions of subscribers. Who would do that? Like, who would bash the dream that you wanted? Like, somebody gave you the opportunity. You're now a parent. You now have a show. And then you bash the person who gave that to you. Your child, your company, whatever it may be. Jeffrey Lewis. Okay. But yeah, let's sign new contracts and then complain more about Sirius XM, who's holding a morale-boosting potluck, which I agree with Jeff. That's disgusting. That's disgusting on so many levels for your company to have, for all of your, like, nasty coworkers who, like, sneeze and don't wash their hand. You watch Barbara, oh, she always, ew, the snot. She always has, like, a Kleenex just, like, on standby. Ew. Yeah, I'm not eating her fucking tuna casserole. And the fact that Sirius XM made it a potluck so that they can create a company event without having to buy food for it is really, as Jeff pointed out, so genius, so manipulative, but very genius, okay? But it led them to talking about like why morale was so low around the office, and it's not because one of their radio hosts, Jeff Lewis, might like bash all the other radio hosts on live air again, or encourage others to. No, that's not it. But so Taylor Dane was like, well, yeah, everybody wants to work remotely now. So it's just hard to justify all those overhead expenses and like having this big studio that no one really wants to use. And Jeff was like, I do. I think the quality is better in the studio. And honestly, I just kind of want to get the fuck out of my house every day. I want to get the fuck out of my house, which is so wild to me, you guys. It's so wild to me because I've never uttered those words ever. I've never, and again, that's why I find so much contentness in being single and celibate, okay? There is a contentness that comes with that, because to say you want to get out of your house, like, my house is my dream. What do you mean? That's my favorite place to be. It has all my favorite things. It has my cats, my food, my bed, my TV. It has everything I want. But for a millionaire like Jeff Lewis Live, a millionaire like Jeff Lewis, who lives in a luxury home, to say that they love leaving their mansion, I'm like, that's so sad. Like, why? What? Your house should be like your safe haven. Like, you should love being there. Your best friend, your animals, your kid, everyone's there. Why do you like to leave? And then it just circles back to like, everyone's different and like not everybody wants to be a recluse, Amy. No, I don't either. I do highly encourage leaving your house. No, but just to hear somebody who lives in a beautiful mansion to be like, I can't wait to fucking leave it every day, when I don't live in a mansion and I can't wait to be in my house every day. Anyways, moving on to the motherfucking Thursday episode. We had Crystal Kung Minkoff. Any relation to Rebecca Minkoff? The world will never know. And Tracy Tota. to for love her martyr and Jane motherfucking Douglas. Speaking of martyrs and farters and tutors galore, we had Shade motherfucking Douglas in a building. Okay, so in this episode, we learned that coconut water is better than semen. Coconut water, it's like semen, but it's different. It's better. So drink up, folks. Okay, now breaking news in the Bravo stratosphere. Well, we'll get to Jeff's show in a second. But first, Rachel from Vanderpump Rules. This is the big news. She's quitting her podcast, guys. And it really just left this huge gap in the market for Bravo celebrities hosting podcasts. And so Crystal Kung Minkoff felt like it was her duty. It was her duty. Like, she owes it to us, you guys. We need more content. We need more content. Who the fuck am I to talk? Who am I to talk, baby? But Crystal is now stepping in for Rachel and filling in the Bravo gap, and she is hosting a podcast with Cynthia Bailey. Because that's just the next play in the Bravo's Housewives playbook. Like, that's the next thing in their training manual. If everything else has failed, then start a podcast, but not with one of your co-stars. It has to be someone from a different franchise, because then you get both of their audience pools and fans and crisscross, cross-pollinate, all that shit. Cross-seminate, cross-coconut watery. Okay, so then on JLL, Jeff made a big announcement. Him, Jameson, and Shane, they all made an announcement and apologized to Joanne. And then Jeff made another announcement. This was a week of fucking announcements. He's in talks with Bravo, you guys. He signed a contract for a new show. Oh my God, flipping out round two. You guys, I'm fucking done. I am fucking done, bitch. Oh my God, I knew it. I knew us Splash Assassins, we fucking knew. I told you the way that Bravo on all of the Real Housewives episodes, franchises across the board the past few months, they've been shoving Jeff Lewis down our throat on these Housewives show. And I said it was because Bravo was trying to get us reacclimated to him so that we can just segue right into him having his own new show back on Bravo. And then it fucking happened. And for some reason, instead of being excited, because never forget, Flipping Out was always my favorite show on Bravo. I applied in like high school to work for Jeff Lewis. I have the email still. Swear to motherfucking God. I think I might have sent it to Gage. But I definitely copied. And I should have copied Jim Thompson. I'm going to email him my resume. No, he fucking knows. He knows, bitch. The podcast speaks for itself. Anyways, but so I should be happy, right? Like, aren't you guys are happy? Like, Flipping Out is back. But for some reason, it instantly annoyed me, as everything does. Like, I am the world's most irritable person, but it was almost like feeling more swindled. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like, and I guess I'll be happy that he has a show eventually, but, Yeah, one of the reasons I think it does annoy me is because take Hollywood Houselift, right? So that show was awful in terms of content. Like, it was, we had Kate Bosworth on a fucking iPad, and Jeff blamed the first producer that he had. Then he blamed Jen Green. Then he blamed this and that and whatever. When in reality, the format of the show was him trying to like rebrand himself as this calmer, nicer person. And now I guarantee when he goes back to Bravo, he's going to bring the drama. He's going to bring all the shit that we wanted to see with Hollywood Houselift, and he's going to bring it to Bravo. And now it's going to be a smashing success, super bingeable, right, Michael? Hitch a ride on that fucking giant ass cock. And so he's gonna bring this smashing success to Bravo, when it's like, why didn't you bring that same energy to Hollywood Houselift and make that one a success instead of trying to rebrand when that failed? Now you go running with your tail back to Bravo, and Bravo needs some ratings right now, so it's willing to do whatever. And again, you guys, we know this is just my personality. First I'm sour, then I'm sweet. So like I will eventually be excited about Jeff Lewis's Bravo edition. But right now it feels weird. I want a shower. I want to fucking shower and not a golden one. And we talked about showers a lot on the Friday episode. So let's move the fuck into that with Ali Landry and Reza Farahar. Okay, so we got another big announcement. Because then they keep on coming. No, for real, it just wouldn't stop. So, Jeff Lewis, this is a big one, though. And it affects us all, listeners. It affects us all. So, JLL is now changing to 2 hours. It's not Jeff Lewis Live Extended. The second hour, it's like, no, Jeff Lewis Live is just now 2 hours, which... it's fine. It's great. Sure. I don't know. My whole thing is like, first of all, you're going to hold your guests hostage for 2 hours every day. That's so much. And is he still going to pay? He usually pays his guests $500 to appear. Is he now going to pay them $1,000? I mean, he's obviously going to pay them $1,000. What am I saying? But you should probably pay them more than that because it's like... appreciating value, you know, like it's not just you're sitting there for the first hour, you get 500, second hour should be the same 500. It's like, no, in that second hour, my energy is now down. I've already been sitting here for an hour. I have to pee. I want to get up. Like, I don't want to be sitting in this fucking studio anymore that already is like, oh, it has a weird potluck going on at the end of the aisle. I don't know. Like, I'm smelling everybody's potato salad from leftover summer potato. I don't know. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. So like, I feel like the second hour they should get at least $750 is all I'm saying. But it does affect Splash's sass because you guys listening to 5 hours of content every day or every week to recap, it's already a lot, but there's absolutely no fucking way that I'm listening to 2 hours of JLL a day. Ew, I'm not recapping 10 hours of content a week. So no, I know that Splash's ass literally just came back from a pause, but he left me no choice. He left me with my tail between my legs and my paws in the air. I don't know. But maybe I'll recap Jeff's new Bravo show, okay, once that starts airing in 2026. But I'm sure he'll say something about Bravo and get himself canceled. He'll get himself indemnified before then. So who knows if it'll ever see the light of day. But when it does, we will all watch, Jeffrey. We will all fucking watch. Your ratings will be great and it'll be much more successful than Hollywood Housewives. Not because it's on Bravo, but because you're bringing different energy than Kate Bosworth on a fucking iPad. Oh no, but Michael Beck was such a great producer, right? He saved your show, Jeffrey, and you love him so much, even though Michael Beck was the one to be producing it when Kate Bosworth was on the iPad. Anyways, okay, so I guess we're happy for Jeff that all his shows are flourishing, but in the meantime, ours will not. Under his new regime, we will just not. I honestly probably won't even listen. Love you, Jeff, but I'll watch Bravo's show. It's just a lot of content, you know. I can't fucking 2 hours a day. I got shit to do. Okay, so we round out the episode with Jeff making fun of Ali Landry for naming her dog Africa. Africa? And all I could think is like, I don't think you have much room to talk shit when your dog's name is Toby. Your dog name is Toby. Toby. Toby is like on the same level as Eeyore to me. It's like, dun da 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 dun dun. Why bother? Why Toby? It just like has like a gloom cloud over it. I don't, and Jeff's actual dog is adorable. The actual Toby's adorable, which it's just even more of a shame that, and sorry, I'm sorry if you're a Toby out there, or if you know a Toby, love a Toby, gave birth to a Toby, hate a Toby. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just saying personally, to me, the name Toby gives off big Eeyore energy, okay? Why bother? And why bother with Splash of Sass when fucking Jeff is gonna extend his show to 12,000 hours of content a week? Oh my God, we get enough already. Enough. So it's been fun. Again, I'm sure I'll be back in some way in some point, but talk about Toby. I'm like Barnacle Billy. I'm just like the little barnacle that you think you scraped away, but somehow I scrape my way back to the surface. So we will be back. When? I don't know. When will you be back? All right. I love you guys so much. Oh my God. I miss you already. I love you. I love you. Have fun listening to Jeff and good luck to all our futures, including his. Bye. Splash, splash. Splash, splash. Splash, splash. Hey, Splash of Says Podcast. Let's go. Woof. Insane.